What does it mean to fear the Lord? How many of you, I'm not going to ask, have you answer yet, but how many of you think you know a good definition of fearing God? May I see your hand? All right, good. When I say fear God, what do I mean? Well, it carries the idea of being in awe of God. That's what the word means. To respect God. If I fear God, I'm honoring God. You know, does it ever mean to be afraid of God? Yes. Yes. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It can be afraid of disappointing God. To fear God actually carries the idea of, as I mentioned, being aware of God's presence all the time. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Understanding that God's watching me every step of the way and being sensitive to that. Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So what happens in a person's life if he has the fear of God? How does that show up? I mean, what are the benefits in his life, spiritually, if he walks in the fear of the Lord? No, it's not all about benefits. So what happens to me if I have the fear of the Lord, a reverence, a respect for God? Well, as already before you, there's a great quote. Oswald Chambers says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else, whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Neil Anderson says, we will always live less than a responsible life if we fear anything other than God. Another writer says, the fear of God kills all other fears. Another said, I fear God, yet I am not afraid of Him. Another said, to fear God is to stand in awe of Him. It is to revere His person, to submit to His authority, to dread His displeasure. This may seem to run counter to our happiness, but it is not. The more we stand in awe of God, the more likely we are to obey. And the more we obey, the more happiness we find. Isn't that good? Now, some very key passages on this. Psalm 5:7. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Psalm 15, verse 4. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. It's like you fear God, God will honor you. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And He will show them His covenants. Like, if I fear God, I'm going to have fellowship with Him. And there will be a closeness in my walk with Him. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Upon them that hope in His mercy. So the thought is, if I have the fear of the Lord, He is going to protect me. Proverbs 1:7. This is a verse that most of us know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You can't even begin to know God until you have the fear of the Lord. Well, then you have Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the thought is, if I want to see things from God's point of view, it must start with the fear of God. We recently looked at Proverbs 1, 20 through 23. It basically says, if I do not have the fear of God, destruction and desolation shall come upon me, and my life will be a wreck without the fear of God. Proverbs 3, 7. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 10:27, this is a verse that really changed my life in college. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. What does that mean? Reverence for God adds hours to every day. If I fear God, I'll get more done in a day. Are you with me? That's what that means. It will prolong life. It will prolong my days. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. The thought is, I will benefit physically. Doesn't mean I'll never have a back surgery, a knee surgery, a neck surgery, or, you know. It doesn't mean that. I'll never have cancer. But it does talk about physical benefits in fearing the Lord. Proverbs 23:17. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. The thought is, this is a command of God, that I am to fear God 24/7. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different in this passage. This will answer the question, how does one get the fear of God? And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. But look, let's skip down to verse 5. Look at Proverbs 2:5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay. Go ahead and watch, use my sermon notes, use my sermon notes on that, on the slides there. So the thought is this, as a result of the previous verses 1 through 4, I mean, what does it mean to fear God? We're going to look at that, and then how to discover the future results of present actions. So these first four verses tell us some things that need to be true in our lives. How do I find the knowledge of God? How do I find the fear of God? So let's start. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Look at verse 3. If thou criest. Look at verse 4. If thou seekest. And each one has a second part of the verse. Little word, if. If you receive my words, if you hide my commandments, if you incline your ear. And so I would call these seven beatitudes that I need to have in my life to experience God's fear. In order for me to have the fear of God, according to these four verses, there needs to be seven things true in my life. Now, to whom is Solomon speaking? Solomon's writing this. Well, he's talking to his son Rehoboam. That's his child. He's teaching him. And, you know, we look at the life of Rehoboam, you realize that he rejected much of what his father taught him. So you can teach your child to fear God, and it doesn't mean he's going to fear God. Child can turn out right or wrong. And so this word, if, is a big word. I think a lot of parents have gotten the negative side of the word if. So a child is growing up in the home. He becomes a teenager. He knows it all intellectually. When he gets out of high school, he goes to college. He's bombarded with all kinds of influence, wrong influence. As a result, he throws it all away. And today, years later, he's still living in sin. And so the word if in this passage means we have a free will. God's not going to force this upon us. If a son receives, if a son hides, if a son cries, if a son searches, if a child seeks, if he searches, then. So Solomon, I think, in fact, I know here recognizes this. And again, Rehoboam chose to reject these teachings. As a result, Rehoboam made wrong choices in his life, and he suffered the loss of his own life, the loss of his children's lives, and the loss of his ministry, all as a result of rejecting the fear of God and the knowledge of God. So we'll look at each point, and then I will give you a minute to write down my decision based on this verse. And we'll talk about these things. First beatitude. Number one, be receptive to the word. Be receptive to the word. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. That's the first part of verse 1. Father, Son. So the Father's teaching His Son godly wisdom and says, Son, Rehoboam, if you're receptive to the words that I give you, then, down to verse 5, you'll have the fear of God and you'll have understanding. So the thought is, we must be receptive, we must be open to the Word of God. A receptive, open heart to truth. Do you know anybody in the New Testament that pretty well matched this being receptive to the Scriptures? They listened to the teaching, went home, and just studied them out. The Bereans. Now, they weren't even saved. They weren't Christians yet. But they took the Old Testament teachings and went home and looked at them and searched them out concerning Christ the Messiah. It says they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. And Paul was impressed with the individuals in Berea. Why? Because they were receptive to God's Word. You know, I don't want to go on a rabbit trail here, but I do know unsaved people who are more receptive to God's Word than a lot of Christians. Do you? You know them? You met them? I have. Also, which begs the question, are these really Christians? Because if they're really Christians, as newborn babes desire the sin. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road. So these Bereans had the attitude, Lord, I need whatever you have for me. I am open. So what's your decision based on this passage? What decision does God want you to make? Write it down. My decision is this. You have note sheet, right? Your handout sheet? Okay. My decision. And we'll bring this up in a few minutes. So, number two, let's go to the next part of verse 1. And hide my commandments with thee. So be a meditator of the Word of God. Hide my commandments, that's the Word of God. Hide means to receive or to hoard. That's the Hebrew word. It means to keep it in a secret place. Well, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditating day and night. Of course, the word meditate comes from a word that is used for cows when they chew on the cud. It means to ruminate. They chew, and swallow it down to one of their stomachs, get off in a shade, under a shade tree, burp it back up, re-chew. That's the thought of the Word of God. And so the thought is, God says, if I want to be prosperous and 100% in my potential for Christ, that's Joshua 1:8, I must learn to chew, meditate, hide God's Word, God's commandments in me. Well, very popular verse. This is not new to you. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart. Here it is. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now say the next verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So if I want to stay away from sin, I'd better learn to hide God's Word in my heart. You know what my problem is? My problem is, at times in my spiritual life, these things seem to slip out of my fingers, slip through my fingers. How about you? I mean, you want to grab on to everything you've learned. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I mean, grab onto them, meditate on them. And it means the things that I'm hearing, the things that I'm learning in my Christian life, I better take and plant them firmly inside, hoard them, hide them. One writer wrote this. He said, in this analogy, your mind is the cup of hot water. And the tea bag represents your intake of Scripture. You ever heard this? He says, hearing God's word is like one dip of the tea bag into a cup. Some of the tea's flavor is absorbed by the water, but not as much as would occur with a more thorough soaking of the bag. Reading, studying, memorizing God's word are like additional plunges of the tea bag into the cup. The more frequently the tea enters into the water, the more permeating its effect. Meditation, however, is like immersing the bag completely and letting it steep until all the rich tea flavor has been extracted and the hot water is thoroughly tinctured reddish brown. He says, meditation on Scripture is letting the Bible brew in the brain. Thus, we might say that as the tea colors the water, meditation likewise colors our thinking. And when we meditate on Scripture, it colors our thinking about God, about God's ways, His world, and about ourselves. That's a good quote, isn't it? It's rich. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, another very famous passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and what? Yes, and in his law doth he meditate. There's that word again, day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Colossians 3, 6. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So, second beatitude, be a meditator. What decision does God expect from us? If you'd write that down. I am choosing to do this based on what I just saw. Here's my decision. Okay. Write fast. Number three. So, verse two. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Be a listener. That word incline, the Hebrew, means to prick up the ears. It means to attend to something. And I wrote, God gave us two ears and one mouth so we could listen twice as much as we talk. Amen? That'll preach. Amen. Quit talking sometimes. Just quit it. Stop. So once you start listening to what God has. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 25:12, as an earring of gold, as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Very beautiful thing to have a wise, discreet, discerning reprover and match that with an obedient heart, obedient ear. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. God wants us to listen more than we talk. Be attentive. Be a listener. The thought here that Solomon is trying to give to his son is that if you want to have the fear of God in your life, then take advantage of every opportunity you have to hear God's word, to hear God's counsel. Last couple weeks, I have been personally doing some research on the history of the church. Brother Kevin and I talked a bit about that today. And what happened? What, I mean, you had the early church, you had in AD 70, you've got the diaspora, you got Titus the Roman general coming in to Jerusalem, destroying Jerusalem, leveling the temple. So all the sacrificial system, all the records are gone. The church is scattered. And then you have, of course, the day of Pentecost. That was earlier than that. And then also you had the spreading of the gospel, the churches. And, you know, churches growing exponentially, the gospel growing exponentially. And the main church was Jerusalem. The pastor was James. And now the churches have grown to Rome. And there was a decision made that, hey, our main church now is no longer Jerusalem, it is Rome. No problem with that. That's our mother church. Problem is, then it began to spiral. You know, whatever Rome says. Then you have Mariology. You know, that's Catholicism. What year was that? No. 175 A.D. Then you have Constantine. What, three in the 300s? 312, three, something like that. And you got, then it just spirals. And you've got Babylon the Great, mother of whores. All right. Constantine meant well. He was so excited about Christ, he had his whole army baptized. He declared them all Christians. And I think, oh, good night. You know, they're so winning out of balance there. But I came across an interesting illustration from Emperor Constantine. It says he stood for hours to hear the word of God read. And someone asked him when he had been standing for several hours, "Sir, why don't you sit down?" Well, he said that he thought it was wicked to give negligent ears to the spoken word of God. And he felt for him to sit would cause him to have lazy ears. And you go on to King Edward VI, who said he never attended a sermon without writing down as many words to the sermon as he could. You know, as the church grew, there was always a remnant, by the way. We don't owe our history to the Catholic Church. Anyway, I didn't want to go there. But you go back to the revival in the book of Nehemiah. Remember the revival came to all of Jerusalem after the walls were built, after the reading of the scripture? In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "And the ears of all the people were attentive under the book of the law." And then there was weeping and mourning. So Proverbs 2:2 says, if I want the fear of the Lord, I must be a listener of the word. What's your decision? Or may I say, what decision would God expect from you? I don't want to legislate your decision, but because of what I just saw, here's what I would purpose to do. Why don't you write it down? Okay. Number four. By the way, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you could make choices here. Because of what I just learned, I'm going to teach my children, my grandchildren to do this. Very appropriate if you want children that fear God. All right, number four. Be practical. Be practical. Verse 2. He says, and apply thine heart to understanding. Apply thine heart. That word apply means to stretch, to bend away, to carry aside. So the thought is, if I'm applying my heart to something, it is stretching me. So when I hear the word of God, I must be ready to do whatever God convicts me to do. And it will stretch me. Hey, listen, any time the word of God impacts my life, I'm stretched. It goes against my bent. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's always three questions to ask when I'm studying God's word. Three questions. And this is not in your notes, but number one, I ask the question, what does it say? That's observation. Number two, what does it mean? That's interpretation. Observation, interpretation. And then number three, so what? How can I apply it? That's application. Application. What does it say? What does it mean? How can I apply it? Observation, interpretation, application. So we must always try to apply the Word of God to our lives. I think one of the worst things that can happen to us, is to me, is to read through the Scripture without letting it impact my life. Do you ever find that true in your life? It's just rote. I mean, hey, I got to read through so many chapters. I purpose to read through so many times the Bible so many times. And so you're just reading. At the end of an hour, you don't know what you read. Ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Well, we read purposefully and we read practically. So what choice, what decision would God expect from you? What's your decision? It's like, I will what? I will always what? At the end of this, I'm going to give some of you an opportunity just to rat-tat-tat-tat, just go through. I will. I choose. All right. Number five, be a student. Proverbs 2:3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Cry after knowledge actually carries the idea of asking questions. It's an interrogative. It means to dig deep. You know, been reading a book for a while, over and over, by Chuck Swindoll, actually, How to Say It Well. And in the book, he talks about digging deep, and then he says, anyone can say the obvious. Anyone can say the obvious. It's like in your insights. Okay, that's a no-brainer. But allow God to go deeper. Search it out. Cry after knowledge. Ask questions. The disciples of Jesus were always asking questions. Jesus, can you explain this? Yeah, let me give you a parable. Can you tell us the meaning of the parable? Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So if someone has an understanding, or if someone has the fear of the Lord, their heart is always wanting to learn more about the Lord, more about knowledge. It's like Proverbs 23:23, and they're willing to pay a price for it. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. It's like you're willing to learn and make a sacrifice. You buy the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So seeking knowledge. I'm going to do a first here. I think this is a first. In 29 years, I don't think I've ever done this. I want to recommend a movie you watch. A video. You ready? It's a movie about the life of Ben Carson called Gifted Hands. How many of you have seen that? How many that saw it would agree this is a great one to watch? Yeah, okay. And let me give you a secular review. Let me tell you what the secular review was. Here's what they say. It's, quote, a true story about a renowned brain surgeon. By the way, this was like several years before he ran for office president. It's a true story about a renowned brain surgeon who overcame obstacles to change the course of medicine forever. Young Ben Carson didn't have much of a chance. Growing up in a broken home amongst poverty and prejudice, his grades suffered and his temper flared. Remember that? He tried to stab a friend, hit the belt buckle, And yet his mother never lost her faith in him. Insisting he follow the opportunities she never had, she helped to grow his imagination. This is really good. It helped to grow his imagination, intelligence, and most importantly, his belief in himself. And I would say that's secular. It's trust in God, too. This writer says that faith would be his gift, the thing that would drive him to follow his dream of becoming one of the world's leading neurosurgeons, the first to separate twins at birth. And the thing, here's what I liked about it. His mother, who couldn't read, kept it a secret from him, encouraged him and his brother to read, two books from the library every week and write a report. And even though she couldn't read, but he got to the place where she taught him every bit of interest. Every time your interest peaks, search it out. It's like turning a rock over, see some bugs. Okay, I'm going to go to the library and find out what those bugs are. What kind of bugs are they? Why are they this way? And then walking through and, I'm interested in that. And turning over every rock of knowledge and learning that way. Les Olerlot encouraged me to do that years ago biblically. He said, you learn the word of God by interest. And I've been doing that for several years. Early in the mornings, I will spend half hour, 45 minutes to an hour just searching things that really tweak my interest during the week. And I don't claim to be a wise man or a smart man, but I mean, that encouraged Ben Carson to do that. That's what impressed me. What impressed me about Ben Carson was the way he put his trust in Jesus. He prayed, a man of prayer. So, here you go. Number five, be a student. Be a student of the Word. So what decision would God want from you? I will be what? I will do what? By the way, that's why Google is good. You gotta eat the meat, spit out the bones. But you can Google about anything you want now. There's no reason why we can't know. I try to be aware of Wikipedia, though I use it. But I got in trouble once in preaching using Wikipedia. I don't know if you remember that. I had to come back and say, wait a minute, gave you false information. But be a student. Okay, number six, be a prayer warrior. Proverbs 2, verse 3, it says, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Lifting up your voice means asking for help. Lifteth up thy voice for understanding. What's understanding? It's a target here. God, give me understanding. Well, understanding is the ability to see the future results of present decisions or the future consequences of present decision choices. Knowing God, help me to, please, I beg you, help me to understand what will happen down the road if I make this choice. Well, it's interesting to me, and we've quoted the verse, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. You got wisdom now. Now get understanding. So I need to ask God to give me the fear of the Lord. Lord, please help me to see the future consequences of my present actions. One writer said, earthly wisdom is gained by study. Heavenly wisdom is gained by prayer. Another said, study may form a biblical scholar. Prayer puts the heart under the heavenly tutorage and therefore forms the wise and the spiritual Christian. You don't want to be a fathead Christian. You want to take the word of God and pray about it. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Jeremiah 33:3, God's phone number. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. So, I must be a prayer warrior if I want the fear of the Lord. So my decision would be this. What would it be? Write that down. I must choose to do this. I must choose to be this. All right, we've got to hurry. Last one, be a seeker. A seeker. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for hers for hid treasures. Of course, the word seek, obvious, means to search something out. It carries the idea of striving after something or actually begging for something, beseeching for something. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the thought is, if I want the fear of the Lord, I must learn to search diligently. You know, there's two things that are of no concern to someone who's hungry for wealth. Two things. Time and effort. So where's your wealth? Deuteronomy 4:29, seek him with thy whole heart. Or with all thy heart and with thy soul. 2 Chronicles 19:3, thou hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Bridges in his commentary said this. He says, I walk many times into the pleasant fields of the Holy Scriptures, where I pluck up the goodly herbs of sentences by pruning. I eat them by reading. I chew them by musing and lay them up at length upon the high seat of memory. That's in gathering them together. And so having tasted this sweetness, I may at last perceive the bitterness of this miserable life. Yikes. So what's the decision here? Be a seeker. What does God want from you? What's your choice? All right, 7 Beatitudes, be receptive, a meditator, listener, practical, student, prayer warrior, seeker. Then, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. The thought is, that's going to be clear to me what it means to fear God. Then I'll understand. Then I'll come to the place where I'm aware of God. I have the discernment. Then shall I understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God means find out what it really means to know God. What it really means to be aware of God all the time. It really means to have God's discernment. So then my decision overall. This is the big one. Write this down. Because of these seven things, what is it God wants you to do? What's the bottom line of these five verses? What's your choice? Okay, let's go back through it. Tell me, just give it to me quick. I don't want a full paragraph each one. Just give me one defining comment on decision one, decision two, decision three. Just read through that. Who would like to be first? Just read through that. If not, I will call on you, and you will be first. Amen. Amen, Alice. I'll call on. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You did write them down, though, didn't you? Oh, yeah, I may call on you. All right? Ron Aguiar. Let's get the microphone on Ron. Give us, what are your choices? What decisions? Quickly, just rat-tat-tat through them.
To listen to the Word of God. To think about God's Word. To be attentive. To be pliable. I want to seek understanding. Ask God for help. I want to dig deep into God's Word.
And bottom line, what's the decision of all? What's a capsulating choice of it all?
That I want more understanding than knowledge.
Okay, Siobhan, give us what you got.
I have, my decision is to listen to God, to not be superficial, to mull over in my head, to listen more, be attentive, to live out what God says in His Word, to search the scriptures, be studious, to pray and ask God for wisdom, and seventh is to not give up, but be diligent in searching.
Amen.
The bottom line.
Bottom line.
My decision is to get the fear of God.
There you go. Kevin Lorch, give us your, Peggy. Okay, he's pointing to Peggy.
Listen to God. Memorize and meditate more and listen more and apply God's word in every situation and to cry after knowledge, to pray more, especially using God's word, and make time and effort. And bottom line is to hunger and thirst after righteousness to get the fear of God.
That's good. Christy, did you write them down? Choices? Let's get the microphone. That's right. Give us the three.
My first one was just be humble and being receptive. And then instead of hoarding sin, hoard God's commandments in my heart. And then under being a student, just call out and ask God for insight and wisdom because He'll give it.
Excellent. Moving up. All right. Matt, did you write them down? All right.
Let's see. Study the word daily. Let the word basically brew in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Day and night. Don't just let a little 5 seconds here and there.
A little ditties.
Day and night. Be attentive. Stop talking. Be open to God's will to change your plans. Be practical. The student, don't let the surface, don't look, just look at the surface, ask questions. Be a prayer warrior is, don't tell God, ask. And for a seeker, don't be content being lukewarm. And bottom line, it's all about Him. He must increase, I must decrease.
Wow, that is good. Good. Jackie, did you write them down? Okay, give them to us.
Well, Well, for one, I said to be open to the Word of God and to memorize and meditate on God's Word and to be quick to hear, to apply God's Word to your life, to my life, and to search out the Scriptures, commit myself to prayer, and to seek God with my whole heart. And the bottom line is to know how to fear God and to know God.
Excellent. Alice, can we hear yours? All right.
First, to obey God's word. Learn the meaning of his word and obey it. Listen, take note, obey, talk less. Be attentive. At the practical, to stretch, be willing to change to meet God's desire. Apply the word, let it change me. A student, ask questions. Beg God to show me the deepest truths. And prayer, will pray for heavenly wisdom in all decisions. And seek begging for something. I will seek God with my whole heart and beg him for his will. And the last part, it will be clear to me what it means to fear God in all things.
Wow, that's good. Last one, Elsa, let's hear yours.
Mine is pretty simple. The bottom line is just do it. These are all if-then propositions.
Okay, just do it.
And the if are all action verbs.
Okay.
So nothing's going to happen if I just sit.
Here's what I wrote down on my decisions. Lord, if it's clearly shown to me from your word, I will obey it. Always open to your word. I will meditate day and night in the word. I will let it brew in my brain, like Matt wrote down. I will learn to listen more to the word. Teach my grandkids the word. I will seek to always apply the word to my life. I must live it. I will be a student of the word. I will increase the intensity of my prayer life. I will be a digger and a seeker. And my decision, pursue the fear of God. So, good passage, isn't it? Father, thanks for your word. I do pray, God, that you'd remind us this week of the importance of fearing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.